Welcome to Big Foamy Head, the Avita Beer Show.
And this is a show I'm surprised we haven't done already. Or have we forgot about it?
We might have forgot about it. I know we've had Avita Beer many, many times, but I don't know if we have done a show about them. Not, but at least not with the ones that we have here.
Yeah, but have we ever done the Avita Beers on the show?
Could not swear to you.
I'm sure we have, because I know that I talk about Turbo Dog all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorites.
Okay. Uh-huh. So the beers, though, we got a pretty good selection. We got Purple Haze, Pecan Harvest, Giacomo IPA, Turbo Dog, Abbey Ale, and perennial crowd favorite, Indigator.
Yum.
And that is a tiny, tiny sampling of all of the beers that this brewery makes. They just crank out ass loads of different beers.
Sure do.
And root beer, too.
And a root beer. Sure mm-hmm. do. They do a good job. I'm kind of like you, Rick. I like the I really like that Turbo Dog.
And that's when you're on Bourbon Street, you're drinking either Avita Amber mm-hmm. or Turbo Dog. And in the upscale bars, Purple Haze.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good all-around, malty, good beverage, goes with everything. Of course, all of these beers pair unbelievably fantastic with Cajun food.
Sure.
On our sister blog site, Beer Porn, one mm-hmm. of my posts that I did was when I was sitting in a pizza joint
on
Decatur in New Orleans, drinking a Giacomo IPA and eating a muffaletta pizza, which I believe you can only get there. And it was just like the perfect combination mm-hmm. of food, beer, and ambiance, right?
Oh, yeah. You got to love it. I was the first time I've really been to their website, just Avita.com, and I went to the brew section, and I saw where they have their beers broken out into seven flagship brews, which are Giacomo IPA, Purple Haze, Avita Restoration Ale. I believe that one was made after the flood.
Yeah,
right?
We had that, and that we did have on the show.
The Turbo Dog, the Golden, Avita Light, and then Avita Amber. Then they have five seasonal brews, a Bock, a Red Ale, a Wheat, a Fall Fest, and a Christmas Ale. I'd like to get a hold mm-hmm. of that Christmas Ale. Mm-hmm. That'd probably be interesting. Then they have the Harvest Brews, which is the strawberry. It's made with a Ponchatoula strawberries. They, from what I understand, it's a one-shot. They only do it once a year when the strawberries come in. They brew it, and they sell it, and they're done. And then, of course, the pecan. And then the big beers are the Indigator and the Abbey Ale. And then they have the root beer.
Yeah.
So, and then they do some selects, too. I forgot. They swap those out, and usually those will be in the kegs, I think, mm-hmm. In the bars.
Yeah, and that's like Indigator that we're drinking when we first started drinking Indigator, you couldn't get it in a bottle. It didn't exist, and there's a bunch of little rumors and hearsay about it. Mm-hmm. I'd asked the bartender on Bourbon Street about the Indigator, and she'd say, oh, yeah, it's their barley wine,
uh-huh.
and it's 11% alcohol, or it was 18% or something, you know, all kinds of, and depending on who you ask, you got a different thing. So now in the bottle, it says it is a Helles Doppelbock.
Right.
Is that correct?
I believe that's correct.
And it's what, 9%?
It says 8% by volume
8%
on the bottle.
Okay. All right. See, the numbers keep changing.
Yeah. Now, on their selects, I noticed they do an English bitter, a Bohemian Pilsner, a Kolsch, a Crystal Weizen, a Rosh beer, and a Wit beer, a double, a nut brown, and a pale ale. So, you know, that's a big selection.
It's a lot of styles, too.
Yeah.
Well, so, Rick, you're drinking the Purple Haze, which is like a...
Right. Purple Haze is, I'll just read the marketing description, is a crisp American-style wheat beer with a raspberry puree added after filtration. Therefore, you may see some raspberry pulp in the beer. The raspberries provide the lager with a subtle purple coloration and haze, a fruity aroma, and a tartly sweet taste. And it's a 4.2, so it's pretty low session beer. Delicious, I think.
It's got like next to no IBUs either, like 13 or something like that.
Right, right.
Well, we had since we're starting off with our color beer. Actually, Mike and I just finished the Pecan Harvest, which was very light.
Very light, yeah.
Didn't get any kind of pecans myself.
I thought it was going to be a little thicker or whatever, yeah. a little more body, very light. But it was very light. Yeah,
5% ABV, and I think it said like 18 or 15 IBUs. Next mm-hmm. to nothing. Pretty orangey, caramely color, very real light, pretty. Towards mm-hmm. the lighter side of it.
And, went down good, no aftertaste.
Yeah, very light, very light beer, and I wouldn't have thought of it as a fall beer, though. Usually, like you say, you'd think of something a little heavier, mm-hmm. but... So we got that out of the way. It's a tasty beverage, and I know the Purple Haze is, and Rick, that would be an outside by the pool drinking beer.
It is, indeed, and if it weren't, maybe they should can it so you could actually take it down to the pool, you know?
Yeah.
Well, what would you idea. What would you have as a meal with it? What do you think it would go with?
Something light, a fruit salad or something, or a salad with, let's say, some raisins and very light dressing.
Yes, it's a light beer paired with the lighter, fruitier sort of things, right?
The website's recommending ripened brie. Desserts made with mascarpone. I don't know what that is.
Mascarpone is a soft Italian cheese. Yeah. It's used and with it's cannolis.
Mm-hmm.
It's great paired with entrees prepared with fruit, especially citrus. Or just enjoy a Purple Haze alone at the end of the meal.
Hmm.
And, of course, every single Abita beer pairs well with crawdads.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Hey, you guys just had a crawdad.
Sure did.
Well, we did. We had us a good old crawdad fest. And, hey, you know, we need to throw out there, timing is everything. So this might actually precede. But Phil, a friend of the show, Phil, and his podcast, My Life as a Foodie, he is asking, and we're going to contribute something to it, so listen to the show as well. You're on death row. You're going to have your last meal. What is it, and what beers are you pairing with it? And anything goes. So that's be sure to listen to that, and hear some more. You can catch it either on My Life as a Foodie, or you can go to beersafari.com, where that and many other worthwhile shows are found.
Because it's a jungle of beer out there.
It's a jungle of beer. And let us be your safari guides.
We need some monkey sounds.
Somebody did that on one of the other shows, the eerie, lifelike monkey noise. So we could go on and just make up more stuff about Abita, but why don't we just shut the hell up and let Mark from Abita tell you a little bit more about themselves and their beers.
We have Mark Wilson on the phone, and he is the head brewmaster there at Abita Beer down in Abita Springs, Louisiana. Good evening, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me.
Hey, we really appreciate it. We're doing the show on the Abita beers, and it's really nice to get some insight of some of the history of the brewery and maybe some thought about what went into making these beers. You guys put out a great product, have a large line of product, and just a very good overall line of beers.
If you look at the line of Abita beers, and we've seen them come and go, there's a bunch of different styles that you produced. Any idea how many over the course of since Abita's been brewing, how many different types of Abita beer there's been?
Well, there's been quite a few. We do a lot of beers we've done in the past at our brew pub that were just available at the brew pub, and then we do a select beer, which is a draft-only beer right now, and we've been doing that for about 6 or 7 years, where we do different styles that we don't normally make. And then when you throw that in with our seasonal beers and our flagship beers and harvest beers, easily 40 to 50 different styles we've done.
That's a lot of styles, which most breweries concentrate kind of on this, standard few. And then, I guess, if you got the brew pub and got the facilities, you do a couple of experiments. Yeah. But Abita's always seemed to me to just try things. And we've had an awful lot of them because we get to New Orleans regular, and we only get some of them here. So when we go to New Orleans, we always go and look for what's new from Abita.
Yeah, we've got 23 years. Where we've been making beer, so we've done quite a bit of experimentation.
Well, when you get into experimenting, who's in charge of that? Is that you, or do you have some help there, or what?
Usually it's me, and I've worked at Abita since 1995, and I've been the brewmaster since 2004. And it's a collaboration with our sales manager and the president of the company and myself or the person in my position.
Okay. I was going to say, how did you get involved? But you kind of told me there. But what got you into brewing? Were you a home brewer?
I was. I home brewed for 3 or 4 years before I started working there.
What was your first job there?
I was basically a brewer trainee. I was home brewing. I knew somebody that worked there, and they offered me a job as a brewer trainee. So that entailed cleaning kegs and cellar work, pretty much anything that needed to be done.
Yeah, anything they wanted you to do, huh?
Right.
And how long were you brewing before you got involved with Abita?
For about 3 years.
What got you into home brewing?
Just a general interest in beers. And, you know, it was in the early to mid-90s when a lot of craft beers were starting to gain some popularity, and just trying them, and met some of my friends that had started a home brew, and it just was something that interested me.
Well, with the Abita line that's out now, and I don't know how new or how not so new this is, but we've been looking at Andy Gator. We had the Andy Gator and the Abbey Ale on this show, and they were higher alcohol, more intense beers. And we'd had Andy Gator before, but it's just recently in bottles, we understand. But that's never been something we've thought about Abita for, the higher alcohol, like super craft beers. Is that something that's been going on or new or what?
Well, the Andy Gator has we've been making that at the brewery since before I started working there. I think we released that in 93 or 94. And the story behind that was basically the brewery had a homebrew competition, and the winning beer was the brewer was able to come into the brew pub and make his beer for the brew pub. And we made some slight modifications to it. That was the genesis of that beer. And it's always been either at the brew pub or then available on draft only. But it's been available on draft, I can't even remember when, but probably since 98 or 99.
Now, I know you started recently just putting it into bottles. Did the beer change at all, or is it the same beer?
No, same beer. We just, at the beginning of the year, we decided to come out with what we call our big beers and big bottles. Before, we'd always just done 12-ounce six-packs. And these are 22-ounce single-serve bottles. And we do, as well as the Andy Gator, we came out with a Belgian-style Abbey Dubbel, which we just call Abbey Ale.
Yeah, it's a great beer. Now,
well, thank you.
The artwork on the Andy Gator, who was in charge of that?
Well, we have a marketing firm that does most of our artwork. And we've had some artwork that goes along with the Andy Gator for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
But they also did the artwork on the Abbey beer, which is actually a picture of St. Joseph's Abbey, which is located in Covington, Louisiana, which is right where the brewery's located.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I love that Andy Gator with the, when you lay it down, it looks like an alligator head.
Yeah, it's real subtle.
Yeah.
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 But the Andy Gator, though, we've had that all up and down where it was distributed in draft, and I remember telling Mike about it and say, you look for the tap with the alligator on it. And the bartenders who were pouring it said, well, what is this? And I heard, oh, it's a barley wine, and it's this, and oh, it's 18% alcohol. No, it's 11% alcohol. So it's like, I mean, just like it was, you know, legend stuff that nobody really knew for sure. And so when we heard it was going to be bottled and come into our town, we got pretty excited about it. And then we said, it says Helles Bock.
Yeah, Helles Doppelbock.
I mean, we didn't. And we weren't thinking that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those beers that when it was only available on available only on draft and it's mainly in Louisiana. And yeah, it just became kind of a legend of how much, because people would drink it. And they wouldn't be used to drinking these big beers. And so people would be, wow, it's 14% alcohol, it's 18%, it's 10%, these crazy numbers. But it's always been an 8% alcohol beer. For beers, people are just used to standard beers, not the big beers that you find in the country at the time. And it was what we made. It was just a strong lager.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really fit into any category. Like you said, we describe it now as a Helles Doppelbock, but I can't think of any beer I've ever had that's ever been described that way, because it is a Doppelbock in every categorical style except for color.
Yeah.
So just when people are buying it now that haven't seen it before, that just gives them a little bit of an idea of what style of beer it is.
When we talk about Abita beers, and most everybody knows Purple Haze. They may not know it's made by Abita, but around here. They know Purple Haze. A lot of people know Turbo Dog. Mm-hmm. And most people know Abita Amber, if they've ever been to New Orleans. But a lot of the beers all seem not that hoppy. And then there's Giacomo IPA, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. seemed like completely different. I remember the first time I had that. I thought, wow, this is just completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the reasons for that is, like I said, the brewery was started in 1986, and the beers that they made the first few years, obviously Amber was the flagship, and then we made a Golden Lager as well, which is still one of our beers, and Turbo Dog, and then Purple Haze became a year-round beer. But all of these beers were designed to complement South Louisiana cuisine, and beers that would be highly hopped and overly bitter wouldn't complement the food down here. So the beers that we started to make at that time were all beers that would complement the food of South Louisiana. So that's why our beers tend to be, those beers at that time tended to be more malt accentuated and less hop. And most of the beers that we make still are lager beers. And we've just started, like you said, with the Giacomo IPA and the Restoration Ale that we do now year-round, where you have a lot more hop flavor and aroma that goes with them.
Nice. Now, on the larger beers, what is there anything new on the horizon we got to look forward to?
Well, we've started the last few years. We've done beers that we call our Harvest Line beers, which we use locally grown Louisiana produce. We do a strawberry lager in the spring, and we've done that for 4 years now. And then in the fall, we've done a pecan ale, which is a nut brown ale where we actually use real pecans in the mash. And then what we're going to release at the beginning of June is a Satsuma wit beer. So it's going to be a Belgian-style white beer, where we're going to use locally grown Louisiana Satsumas, which are just a style of mandarin orange, but are grown in South Louisiana. And we're going to use those instead of the typical orange peels that those brewers use.
Yeah, I saw that flyer when I was down at your tap room the other day, or a few weeks ago, I guess. Kathy showed me a flyer, and I said, man, that sounds delicious.
Well, I mean, the rollout is this week.
Wow.
Now, Belgians, other than what we're talking about here and the Abbey Ale, has that been something that you've done before?
We really hadn't. We had done, with our Select beer, we had done some wit beers, and I believe we did a Belgian Golden Ale, and we did an Abbey Ale before. But as far as releasing anything in package, this is the first time we've done that, first with the Abbey beer earlier in the year, and then the wit beer this summer.
Well, the Abbey definitely knocked our socks off, don't you think, Dick?
Yeah, that's why I asked, because it was such a great job on the beer. I mean, you'll have to, when you hear the rest of the show, I mean, we're not just saying that.
Yeah.
Unsolicited. Everybody's going like, oh, my God, this is great.
Yeah, it was a good beer. Very good beer.
Yeah, it was definitely a favorite.
And, do you plan on adding any other in that Abbey style or anything like that?
Well, that could be something that we look at down the road with the big beers. We definitely will look to see if those beers sell very well, and we get a lot of good feedback. And everything we've gotten so far in the 5 months that they've been out has been great. And that is something we would look to do to extend that line in the future and do big beers like that.
Well, it's definitely something that you've definitely got the hang of it.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that.
That's a great beer.
So that was Mark Wilson from Abita, and there's a lot more to that interview. If you want to hear the full uncut, raw, naked interview, go to BigFoamyHead.com, and in the post for this show, you'll see a link that you can click to follow to hear the entire thing, and we get into even more discussions about the beer, hanging out at Great American Beer Fest, and more new things about Abita. Give it a listen. So we cracked open a Turbo Dog, which is a favorite on Bourbon Street and points north, south, east, and west of that,
mm-hmm.
and all over, all up and down. This is the opposite of light.
Oh, yeah.
It's a dark-colored beer, but it's really not a dark drinking beer. It's good. It's.
Did we figure out if it's a lager or an ale? It was an ale, right?
Yeah, it is an ale. For some reason, I had it in my head that Abita's, a lot of them were lagers, but they're not. They're predominantly ales. Mm-hmm. It's just that they're so light on the palate. They don't. They're not real thick. They're not real dense. And I'm wondering if it has something to do with the water.
It could.
Yeah, it mentions that it's an ale twice in the product description.
Yeah.
Because they're in Abita Springs, and I would assume a town called Abita Springs has spring water.
And in their
spring water's pretty hard.
In their bio, it says they do indeed use the water from Abita Springs. So maybe that has a little something to do with this, because I'm drinking this Turbo Dog, and if you weren't looking at it, you would know this is a very dark, brownish, almost black beer.
Looks like Coca-Cola, doesn't it? Real dark Coca-Cola.
It does, with no ice. I mean, it's a good drinking beer. This, man, Turbo Dog makes me, for whatever reason, think of chili dogs. This would go good. You could take this with anything. Pizzas.
Good juicy hamburger.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good all-around drinking beer. Rick, you said you had a Turbo Dog, but it's gone.
I'll tell you, sausage plate.
Yeah, actually, I had old six-packs of them. Not today, but... prep for the show, I had bought them and just kept drinking them.
So and that's what happens.
Show day, and I don't have it anymore. But this is very comparable to the New Belgian 1554. So people who haven't had a Turbo Dog, I recommend they just pick one up because they're available pretty much everywhere as far as I can tell.
Yeah, so. I think so.
Yeah, they're getting out there.
Yeah, and that's what I wondered. I didn't know what the range was for this.
The Turbo Dog, their marketing... spiel is Turbo Dog is a dark brown ale brewed with Willamette hops and a combination of pale crystal and chocolate malts. The combination gives Turbo Dog its rich body and color and a sweet chocolate toffee-like flavor. I get that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just not overly so.
Uh-huh.
Just a little taste of it.
Says it goes well with most meats, is great served with hamburgers and sausage.
There you go. There you go.
There's an echo in here.
Yeah.
Cool.
So good stuff.
ABV 5.6, IBU 28, color 60.
Yum.
Mm-hmm.
So Abita, so the distribution, I mean, Rick, have you seen it in stores in Denver?
Oh, yeah, I can pick it up at my liquor store down the street. So
okay.
It's pretty widely distributed.
Yeah, and it should be. I mean, they got a good selection, and it's something that if you wanted to get somebody to try a beer other than your big boy beers, your Conglomo beers, this would be one.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's just like, and of course, in New Orleans and Louisiana, this, I think, is a market leader. You just don't think about anything other than Abita. I mean, I've gone over to people's house, and that was your only choice. And these are just people living there, right?
Yeah.
So they're local beer, and they support it, and so it's good stuff. We and Ben, we're talking about a trip back to New Orleans. My daughter loves to go there, and that's a cool place, cool happening place to go. But a couple of show notes before we get any further. Okay, so we mentioned about Phil, and you might have heard on one of the earlier shows about our Memphis in May. Well, we've been we got a lot of audio from there, but we're trying to make it as close to not safe for work. Because a lot of it's not even safe to listen to. It's pretty bad. So it's a little while coming and getting that out. And so that's where we're going ahead and doing our Abita now. It's 90 degrees in Memphrica today. It's May 31st, 90 degrees.
We got a long way to go, don't we?
I know. I think it might be warm. What's the weather like out in Denver?
It's been pretty in the morning, but then it clouds up in the afternoon. You know, it keeps threatening thunderstorms. So,
yeah,
I've been wanting to get to the pool, but I can't quite get there because I like to go in the evening, and usually that's when the clouds have rolled in.
It gets a little nippy.
What's your temperature holding at?
No, it's not that nippy. I mean, it's probably in the close to 80.
Okay, that's pretty good.
It's really nice. It's pretty, actually.
Yeah, sounds real good. And you're finding out about, or you have you confirmed about your great taste of the Midwest?
I have. They cashed my check, so I've got at least two tickets to the Great Taste in the Midwest. All and I believe that Mr. Mike Bond there has tickets also. He just hasn't confirmed them.
Yeah, so. I have not gotten that check back yet, so more than
might
likely.
Might have up to four tickets to go.
All right. So we're going to have some representation one way or the other at Great Taste of the Midwest. We might be
guarantee I'll be there.
Be sleeping in alleys or bumming off of some of your in-laws. We just show up. Hi.
Scoot over.
We're your cousins.
We can make this happen. We'll make it happen.
That's right. I'm a Hagenbomber from down south. Can I sleep here? Is that your daughter? How old is she?
That's funny.
Oh, man. I know. Well, the Midwest need an injection of southern culture, such as is that
they need
redundant?
It badly. They're pretty wound up tight, so they're gonna need it.
What is that southern culture? Is that like jumbo shrimp? What do you call those whores? It means the exact opposite. Well, we had us some southern culture last night.
Yes, we did.
You were in Rick. You know that's why I just whipped out that mascarpone. How I knew it. Because I had a cannoli last night at the Memphis Italian Festival.
Now, for people that don't know, this is one of the long-standing traditions in Memphis. You have Memphis in May and the Italian Festival. So those are two big parties in different locations of the city.
We got the Greek Festival, too.
Yeah, we had that, too, at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Very beginning. That's right. So it's been a good – May is a great month
in
Memphis. And so we went down there. And we had us a good time. The temperatures were great. We had us plenty of tickets for beer, and we did all kinds of things. I think we should tell them about it in the next segment.
Sure.
Okay.
I'm up for that.
All right. Well, here's the thing that I got these songs. I got to play some because for whatever reason, I was flipping around on the channel, and I came across the movie Walk the Line. The Johnny Cash bio. So
good movie.
And the big thing, the turning point when he's finally getting off his drugs and turning himself around, he does the gig at Folsom Prison.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the recording from Folsom Prison.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
Folsom Prison Blues.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around a bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. I bet there's rich folks eating from a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a-moving, and that's what tortures me. If they freed me from this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
So that's how they do it, prison style.
Johnny Cash, the original gangsta.
He was.
Isn't that what Snoop D.
The American, original American. Yeah. So we listen to that. We'll play that next. This is like Johnny Cash influenced so many people so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently not enough influence on Joaquin Phoenix, though. enough, like he did the song. And it's like if you go to iTunes and look up, you can buy Joaquin Phoenix music.
Uh-huh.
All of it, him singing like Johnny Cash. And he does a good job, but
so he actually sings the song?
Oh, yeah, he does. But these days, damn. I mean, I think the media stunt or whatever the hell he's doing, that it's over. Nobody cares. They've moved on.
Yeah.
He's going to have to come back and say, it was some bad mushrooms or something. I'm sorry. It didn't go over. I mean, he's just going to have to do it because he's no Andy Kaufman. He ain't going to get away with that shit the rest of his life.
You could easily come out and say, hey, guys, I gave it my all. I tried. It wasn't meant to be. I'm an actor.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to get back into the movies, and it all goes away.
You know who else is doing the weird act is Billy Bob Thornton because he's out doing his music, too, and he doesn't want to talk about acting at all.
Yeah, that's right. I heard him on some radio station. It's like he was a total asshole to some DJ.
Really?
Yeah.
Some guy in Canada, right?
Yeah.
He's like, you were told not to ask me about that, blah, blah, blah.
It's like nobody gives a shit about you. It's like Lou Diamond Phillips, you know.
I wanted to talk to Billy Bob Thornton about the blood he used to wear around his neck, him and Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
They had little vials of each other's blood they wore around their neck.
That's a little, whatever.
Is that not strange?
Well, you see how that worked out.
Yeah.
Now Brad Pitt's doing that, so.
Well, so, okay, I'll tell you about my latest brush with celebrity. Okay, true story. I was in Los Angeles last week, okay? And so I got to go meet a client for dinner, and the rep set it up. So I don't know nothing about where the hell I'm going. It's this restaurant called Katsuya. It's a sushi / grill, Japanese grill. Very good food. But I show up there, and there wasn't a line or nothing. I mean, you know, it's a busy night. It's like a, whatever it was, Thursday night. And as I'm pulling in to the valet parking, not a limo, but a nice town car pulls up behind me. Mm-hmm. And unloads its passenger, which is I'm getting out and I'm going to the valet, is Tori Spelling.
Wow.
And so she walks in ahead of me, and unlike me, she had a table waiting. And so I go, and I go over to the bar and meet my doctor, and the hostess says, it's going to be a little while, and, you know, we got to move some people. She said, like, they decided to camp out there. And, I tell you what, service at that place, fantastic. They kept coming, checking, apologizing for it being so late, and we're going to send some complimentary appetizers and stuff. In the meantime, Tori's got her table with some girl. No photographers anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
No one paying her the slightest bit of attention.
Nobody cares.
And he told me, the doctor said he'd been there before, and while he was there, Christian Slater and Janet Jackson both were there eating. And same deal. So apparently there are places in L.A. where celebrities go and just hang out and not be bothered. So we get our table, and I'm directly across. I'm like two tables between me and her. Mm-hmm. And so it's like nobody bothered her the whole
What'd she look like?
She looked fine.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Dick, who kept going over, can I get your autograph?
I know. I was going to.
I'm from Tennessee. Can yeah. I have your autograph? Well, it's your R. Purdy.
It was a sushi place, so I was going to like order the Toro, the fatty tuna, and put some ketchup on it and say, this is a Tori Toro. It's a special dish I made up for you. But no, but I'd seen the thing, I don't know why, it was like in People Magazine or something about how like she got all anorexic and shit, and she wrote this, but she looked fine. I mean, she was thin, but she looked good, you know? She looked, I mean, I can see, though, if you saw her in the right light or shot her
that. Her face has got a weird look to it.
Well,
now.
That's She's what my not. Daughter
said. Yeah, I never thought she was that pretty, actually.
Yeah, my daughter said I needed to go up to her and say, hey, Tori, why the long face? That's for
she
Katie
used to
Pepper.
Be, of course, when she was in on that high school show, she was pretty.
90210?
Yeah, she was
I don't know.
Pretty.
She never did. I mean, she's, I'd say she's an attractive girl, but I never found her particularly striking or interesting. She looked like just somebody.
I think the older she gets, the less attractive she's getting. Of course, that happens to a lot
of us.
She
looks the same to me, but she's
that would explain the lack of attention from the media.
Yeah.
But I did notice, I took a good look, there were no beers on her table, so her stock went down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and all I could get was a Sapporo, so I made do the Budweiser of Japanese beers. But,
no Ichiban?
No. Hmm. But we're not drinking Budweiser now. We're drinking us some Andigator.
Andigator.
And this is the one that we had and have had multiple times on Bourbon Street. I was going to say Bill Street. On Bourbon Street. And, Mike, you've had this before. What do you think? And the bottled Andigator to me just seems a little less alcoholic than what we used to
get. Yeah, I don't think it's near as strong. And, you know, back when we would get it in the keg in the restaurant, in a glass out in the restaurant and on draft, it was. I had a lot of people telling me it was a barley wine.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever called it a Helles Bock, Doppelbock.
No, mm-mm, not ever.
So, you know, I don't know if it's got something to do with bottling laws or whatever. It'd be interesting. That'd be a good question for the Abita people. And I'll work on that. I've got the brewer's card and his name and number. I'll try to give him a call and maybe we can get some info out of him.
And this is a very light, I think it said on the color scale it was an 8, which I have no idea what that means, but it's a very kind of, it's a yellow, a dark yellow gold, the word corn comes to mind, but it's a gold color, and it is a lagered beer, a Helles style Doppelbock, so it's a lager beer. Are you, Rick, you're drinking this now, right?
I am. It's got very fine effervescent bubbles. It's got a nice fluffy white head, which is persistent, almost pudding-like. It's foamy. And it's kind of sweet and dry, tending towards the sweetness. And that's typical of a Doppelbock, which they tend to have a lot of caramels in them. So now, it's a very good representation of the style.
Okay, good. Well, that's good to know. It does. It finishes clean, very clean. All right, so Rick, look at your bottle.
And I don't want to freak you guys out. Oh, yeah. Okay, go.
Well, I was going to say,
you're going to do the same thing.
Okay, well, I looked at this, and I've seen this multiple times. It was Mike that pointed it out. I thought it was just like some abstract smear. So what were you going to say?
There's a gator on the bottle.
There's a gator on the bottle. I never noticed it. It's like that abstract smear is a gator, like, jumping up straight up out of the water or the reeds or something. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you lay it down, you can see it really
good. Yeah, it's a gator.
Getting ready to chomp.
Yeah.
Wasn't there, like, a B movie, Lake Placid, which was about a big
the giant alligator? Yeah. I believe this is him.
You know, how many,
like that, but different.
How many stupid people in that movie wanted to go into the water? All of them. You know, sure. Stupid. There's a giant gator in the water. Don't go in the goddamn water.
That's right. Pack your shit. We're leaving.
Man, we're out
going
this
to
town.
Disney World.
Yeah, there's no gators down there. Just giant mouse. Just a giant mouse.
Yeah, I didn't actually see the movie, but I could guess on the plot. It's kind of like a. You know, there's some creepy guy chasing you, so you go into the darkly lit basement, and then the light breaks or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, I didn't see that coming.
And you hear the creepy music.
Yeah. Yeah, when you hear the music, you need to leave the room immediately. That's the first cue.
That is your musical cue, you know, or the eerie whispers. Yeah. If you ever hear somebody go, get out.
Or how about, yeah.
Take their advice.
How about the guy that says, okay, you go that way, and you go this way, and you go that way, and I'll go this way.
Let's all split up. Yeah, let's all split up. The answer is no. Let's not. Let's stay together, and you're in front.
But you know what? Our guys are. If we made movies that way, they wouldn't sell.
They'd be short. That's what we were talking about, Rick. We've got to do a shot-for-shot remake of I Was a Zombie for the FBI, the Memphis classic homage to the 50s-style horror movies. I think we got to do it. We got to bring back. And we say that because we were at the Memphis Italian Festival. And when we got there, and it was kind of bad because it's like the barbecue festival, you know, ideally you need to know somebody, you need to go walk around, see all the booths, look at all the art, look at all the exhibits. Hell no. We walk in, we head directly for the ticket, get us some Italian sandwiches, some beer. We went over to the stage and sat down and didn't move till the thing closed.
Yeah.
We didn't see anything. We saw absolutely nothing except for the bands. And the band that we were watching, who was the opening, or I don't know where they were in the lineup, but it was the last band before the main act, was Larry Raspberry and the High Steppers.
Yeah, he's good.
He's very good, very entertaining showman. Been doing this for a long, long time. And little known fact, unless you live here, he was one of the original gentries.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. And he was...
Well, the old boy at... the restaurant, Huey's. Thomas Boggs. Yeah.
He was also.
Yeah.
I've seen him on that show. He was a drummer.
I've seen him on that Memphis TV show when they talk about the old Memphis music and whatnot.
Yeah. And then Larry left and was replaced as singer by
Hart.
Jimmy Hart.
Yeah.
That's right. The Mouth of the South from wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But Larry was up there and he was singing, and he was also, and I mentioned that to you, and then no sooner do I say it than he turns around and like talks about it. He's like reliving his past right in front of all of us. He was one of the stars of I Was a Zombie for the FBI.
Oh, cool.
So he does that, and he thinks, I'm going to be an actor because I've been in a movie made in Memphis. So he moves to L.A., and what do you know? Things didn't quite work out. And he's like telling us these long-winded things about this song that almost got recorded by Carly Simon and somebody else. It's like, shut the hell up and sing. But it was pretty good. And then later, that's when it got kind of interesting. This is where, okay, you know, people have their moments of greatness and then they retire gracefully or they continue to plug away and just get continually worse and worse. This is a Memphis Italian Festival, and it's not that this is a tiny thing. There's an ass load of people there, but still.
It's an Italian festival.
It's an Italian festival.
And nothing wrong with Italian people.
No.
We like Italian people.
We love
Big
Italian people. But the headliner.
Well, I haven't personally loved an Italian person, but
you should try. The headliner at the Memphis Italian Festival, Starship.
Yeah,
with Mickey Thomas, and we were just kind of watching, and Mike thought they were a little, and I agreed too. They were a little what'd you say they were?
Rusty.
Yeah. At the start, but I tell you what, Mickey Thomas hit dead on. It was as good, if not better.
I wish they'd had a little bit better sound system.
Yeah, but his voice is fantastic all of these years. And they sang all their songs, and then they started doing this medley. Now, Grace Slick is not with them because she's, 84, 85 now? I don't know, she's old as hell. But they got some chick in there, young girl. With the gray slick hairdo, got her dyed black. What are you playing over there?
Mickey Thomas? I went to their website.
But and so I knew, because I know all kinds of useless shit, that, and Rick, you probably know this, you know his first big hit song was Fooled Around and Fell in Love, the Elvin Bishop band. He was the lead singer. And so
you know when that was?
When?
1976.
76, okay. That's a damn good song. And he wore it out. Man, I tell you what, they worked that song. They did all kinds of stuff with it. And a fantastic job. Man, he's got the voice. And then, Rick, in the middle of all of this,
out of nowhere, he says, Memphis has produced so many people, and let me bring one of Memphis' own, Jimmy Jameson.
Yeah, that was good.
Jimmy Jameson comes out, and they fire up Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, and crowd went nuts.
Oh, okay, funny.
Jimmy Jameson singing the Rocky theme in front of everybody. It was cool. It really was. I've never seen it done live. Yeah. At the Italian Fest.
It was wild, man. It really was.
It was really good. And then they did some more of their songs, and it was like we were talking about, it's like, wow, you really forget how many songs they had.
Yeah.
And the one we were trying to figure out, though, was, and I know this is, Rick, one of your favorite movies. It's right up there with Bridge on the River Kwai, Blazing Saddles, and Gone with the Wind, the epic tale of love between a man and a department store dummy. Mannequin. And they sing the song for that, and I can't remember which one it is, but
you know,
they sang
that
it.
Must have been a special moment.
It was
Sarah.
It was.
Was it Sarah?
I don't know. No. If Sarah or I forget it. We'll find
Sarah
out.
Sarah is a good song. I like that one.
Whatever it is playing in the background right now.
I know the one you're talking about.
And you know, okay, here you go. For the bonus question, Rick, who played the mannequin? I'll give you a hint.
Not Kelly.
Sex in
oh,
the
man.
City.
As far as I can, yeah. All yeah. I remember is this was a 1980 movie with big hair.
The Slut. You were doing a lot of drugs.
The Slut in Sex in the City. What's her name?
Kim Cattrall.
Yeah, Kim Cattrall. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys,
I was sailing around the briny blue at that time in my life. So,
yeah, but y'all had communications out there, though, didn't you?
Well, we'd get a movie a week, so we'd watch the hell out of that movie. You know,
it had Kim Cattrall in it. That was a nice thing to watch. Back
who was
in
the dude that was in it? He was
Andrew McCarthy.
Yeah, Andrew McCarthy.
I know. It's shameful how I remember this.
You know, that wasn't a bad movie for its age or time.
I don't remember anything. All I remember, and I can't remember the black guy's name, but he was hilarious.
Yes.
He played like the gay black guy.
He's done a lot of good.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. But anyway, so
he played on that Delta Burke show, Designing Women.
Yeah, that's what he. Yeah. That's where he's from. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was their guy there. Well, so anyway, Mike and friend of the show, Alan, were right up on one body removed from the stage.
Yeah, we worked our way up.
And
I
went up there, and I'm eyeballing Mickey, and he looks good. He looks good, but how old do you think he is?
Well, you got him when he made his mark in 76. How old do you think he was? In his 20s?
Had to be.
Yeah.
Had to be. So he's got to be, I don't know how close to 60 he is.
I'd say he's right in there.
Yeah, he's got to be.
But,
he's
I mean, they did, hey, Rick, they did the White Rabbit song, Gray Slick, the girl, the new girl.
Yeah, I was
going
to ask if they did any of the old Starship stuff.
They did Jane. They did We Built This City on Rock and Roll, Sarah. What other ones did they do?
Oh, everything.
Laying It on the Line, didn't they?
Yeah. Lay It on the Line, and just everything. Everything you can think of. Okay, I got it. December 3rd, 1949. So this year, Mickey Thomas will be 60.
Wow.
He looked pretty damn good for 59. Yeah. Now, notice how he kept his sunglasses on the whole time, mm-hmm. which was a little bit of an affectation, but that's okay. But a great
voice. I would have liked to have seen that show because I do like a lot of that old Jefferson Airplane.
They'll be coming to a festival near you.
That's
soon.
Right. That's right. I believe you can hire them for your backyard.
Yeah.
Moose Club, Elks Meeting, Shriners, what have you.
Bar mitzvahs.
Yeah, they're gonna be doing the bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah circuit real soon. But now it was really good though, and his voice was just impeccable and note for note, and like I said, I swear on some of the things, it's like he did not half-ass it. Like Mike said, they were a little rusty, a little bit getting started, and I think basically that was his warm-ups, because I forget what that first song was. It was like, what the hell?
That was one of those old 70s songs that they did, and I didn't like it at all, and that's what I said, man. God, don't tell me they're going to hammer us on all these mid-range pop tunes, but then man, they started rocking. Now
they did.
They're going to be at in California at the Temecula. Is that right?
Yeah.
Temecula Balloon and Wine Festival.
All right.
Yeah.
So keep an eye peeled. And they may be in your backyard for you know.
They're going to be at the South Point Casino and Spa.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's a big gig for them.
And the Kansas City Zoo.
Get out.
Yeah.
That's funny. Now, I'll tell you guys the difference between you guys and my son. I could ask my son what he did at the Italian festival, and he would have gone to a tent that where they had several kegs and camped for the entire time. So that would have been his entire Italian festival experience, and you guys were out there, you know, getting all this historical music. And
well, we wouldn't have gone and camped. But our friends at the Italian festival, I didn't call soon enough.
Yeah.
Actually, I was invited to it, but I didn't know where the hell they were.
You know, John Shields had a booth out there, the ballroom dancing people.
Oh, yeah?
He was a part of that.
There's a bunch of people out there.
Are you close to Arizona?
For those people that don't know John Shields, he's one of the neighbors in the neighborhood. Yeah. So,
Are you close to Arizona?
He's closer than us.
Who gives a shit? Get a fucking light!
Yeah. Well, it's only 600, 700 miles.
Oklahoma, Florida. They're traveling, man. Nebraska.
Actually, we're having a Mile High Music Festival coming up in July that I'm going to go to. It's got Buddy Guy's going to be there, Derek Trucks.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Wow.
July when?
Government Mule. I think it's July 17th or so.
Okay, man. Good, because you got plans on July 4th, right?
Yes, I do. I've been meaning to talk to you guys about that. So
and what is July 4th?
Offline.
It is.
Would
it
that
is
be an anniversary of some sort.
It is our anniversary of as being a country, right? We are celebrating what 240 or is it 300? No, 233 years of independence, right?
Did you just do all that figuring?
I was ciphering my ass off. 1776 plus 233 is 2009.
I was wondering where he was going with that.
It's our independence. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. And one more thing. it's your liberation of your ears. We have freed your ears from your head bone in the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness.
Happiness.
Big Foamy Head officially launched 4 years ago, come this July 4th.
Wow.
So that's pretty good.
Amazing.
And so,
and we're going to do it up, right?
We're going to do it up because it is the 4th on the 4th.
Yeah.
Does that equal 88?
It do. The 4th on the 4th. So we're going to, and I got permission from Christy to put on the dog. So we're going to do something. And we're going to do like, I'm going to steal from the Muscaries. Actually, I think I need to get Susan to be the party coordinator. I
wonder if we can get some live music.
I am authorized to procure live music and that giant ass water slide Susan had. Now, you got to hear about the water slide. I haven't finished editing
it. I've seen the pictures. Susan's a prolific
yes,
Facebooker.
But you didn't see the picture of Jamie sliding down the middle of that slide. It's like the slide's divided in two.
She was riding the pole.
She rode the pole down. And things took a turn for the horrendous.
Her foot got caught on the tarp, and she flipped over and took out three 4 year olds and 5 year olds.
Yeah, she took out a couple of kids. But
anytime Jamie's there, it's a good time. I tell you.
Well, be sure and listen to the Two Sides of Beer episode coming up, where we have the Muscaries in separate, unrelated.
It was kind of like the Newlywed Game.
It was. It was pretty interesting. So we're going to get that slide back. We're going to reprise the slide. All right, so we're going to take a break and come back for our next big boy beer from Abita. This Andigator, man, is it gone? Mine's gone.
Mine's yours, pretty much gone. I've
it goes
it
down.
I'm almost there.
It goes down easy, doesn't it? But all right, so I need a choice. I need an audience decision. It's the American Idol moment. We've talked about a couple of things. Johnny Cash, Mickey Thomas. I've got Alvin Bishop, Fooled Around, Fell in Love, or Snoop Dogg's homage to Johnny Cash, My Medicine. Which
Let's
shall
do
we
Snoop
play?
Dogg.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, here's
Dogg.
A little Snoop D-O-double-G.
Yeah. I'd like to dedicate this record right here to my main man. Johnny Cash, a real American gangster. I got my nephew Whitey Ford on the guitar.
Young Trev on the drums. Grand Ole Opry, here we come. Jackie Neville, Jackie Quick, Jack left the spoon on the candlestick. Dope stick pimping on the one trick pony. Yeah, she kind of skinny, but she gets my money. Get my money, buy my medicine, buy my medicine, buy my medicine. Get my money, buy my medicine, buy my medicine, buy my medicine. Yeah, you know I got to have that medicine. That prescription medicine, baby. You know, purple, orange, green. Jack starts hanging around with the fiends. Got strung out, sold the cow for beans. Told young wifey, I love you, honey, but you gotta hit the streets, go and get my money. Get my money, buy my medicine, buy my medicine, buy my medicine. Get my money, buy my medicine, buy my medicine, buy my medicine. Yeah, the more dedicated, the more medicated. Can you feel me? Girl, my love's gonna last just as long as my high. And I'm high all day, every day. You can trust every word I'm gonna say will be a lie. Yeah, I lie sometimes. What's the use of the truth if you can't tell a lie sometimes, baby? Now dig this. Jack starts to track up and down the hill. Got to walk and figure Ace what he told the Jill. Come rain, come shine, come snow up the sunny. Get the fuck out, girl, and get my money. Get my money, buy my medicine, buy my medicine, buy my medicine. Get my money, buy my medicine, buy my medicine, buy my medicine. Yeah, they say you can't buy me love, but you damn sure can buy me bud. Girl, my love's gonna last just as long as my high. Oh, I'm so high right now. How about you? You can trust every word I'm gonna tell you is a lie. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Girl, I love you. I love you, though.
So that was some sick D-O-double-G.
Smoking Indo.
And that was pretty cool. And, you know, he said, actually not him, Tupac Shakur said the harshest line in a song he had ever heard was from Johnny Cash in their first song, Folsom Prison, I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. He says, and
that's
so,
pretty hardcore.
And the rappers, they love the hell out of them some Johnny Cash, yeah. No shit. And get this now, I'm down at the barbecue contest, and I got a bunch of fellas over here to the left of me at a friend's tent, and I'm looking at them thinking, shit, they're going to be busting out the yak and putting on the red bandanas any minute. I'll be damned if they didn't go over there, and right in the middle of playing like some, you know, some rap, some little hip-hop, nice stuff, too, nothing, mm-hmm. You know, good stuff. Johnny Cash, right in the middle, and man, they lit up.
Wow.
It's like Johnny Cash, whether, you know, no matter what you like, mm-hmm. he has a universal appeal. And man, we forget about that. And,
the
you
man
know,
in black.
Yeah, the man in black. I mean, he's a cool guy. And so I watched that movie, right, and walked the line. I was flipping across, and there's a little Reese Witherspoon in there, who's just cute as can be. I'm from Tennessee to boot.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it. I'm thinking, man, you know that Johnny Cash, because he's, you know, his big recordings, the mm-hmm. four key people from Sun Studios, Elvis, Jerry Lee, Roy Orbison,
Carl Perkins.
Well, Carl wasn't one of the four. Johnny was the other one. Carl okay. was there, but he kept getting, you know, having wrecks and shit and screwing yeah. himself up. But the four horsemen, so to speak, from mm-hmm. Sun Studios was Jerry Lee, Elvis, Roy Orbison, and Johnny Cash.
What was that?
I think Rick had...
That was me enjoying this beer. Oh, Rick, my God.
Rick, yeah. Rick just had an orgasm.
He did. I think
the
he had,
Abbey Ale is fantastic.
Isn't he had good? An Abbeygasm. So
that is delicious.
That's right. Off of the man in black and into the beer in the bottle. What are we drinking here, Rick?
I'm sorry to interrupt. Man, you were on a roll. Yeah. This is the Abbey Ale. It's Abbey Ale honors the ancient tradition of monks who perfected the art of brewing beer to support the monastery and... the brothers with their liquid bread. We offer up our support and thank them with a 25-cent donation to St. Joseph's Abbey with every bottle of this heavenly brew.
Wow. I contribute.
Dark and amber color, the aroma of caramel, fruits, and cloves invites you to contemplate the creamy head of this double or double ale.
It's a
was that good.
It is yummalicious.
My first impression was, wow.
Yeah.
It just knocked me off.
And it's still, it's just like all the others, though. It's not cloying, it's not heavy, and it's but it's full of flavor. Man.
I got that clove, didn't you?
I got everything he just said.
Yeah.
Everything he just said. It's a beautiful color. It's a caramely dark, pretty color, and it poured a great big head. When I poured mine, it's got a lot of legs on it when you swirl it in a glass, and we're not drinking it. We're just drinking out of a straight glass, but it's
got a nice spicy character to it.
Yes, it does. But it's good. And it finishes nice and clean. I got a lot of spice and cloves at the end.
ABV 8%.
Man, they did a good job with that.
They did a very nice job.
When we said okay, we're going to do a Belgian, it's kind of like, all right, it's going to be sweet and kind of have that candy sugar flavor to it, but. This was great.
This is nice. It's not as
I'm really impressed.
It's got a lot of spice notes, just the right amount of sugar, not oversweet.
You know, you don't know how many times I've almost pulled this bottle has been in my refrigerator for a while. A couple of months maybe. And you don't know how many times I've almost pulled it out and drank it. I've never had one of these before. But
me neither.
But I said, I know we're doing the Abbey show. I need to hang on to it, and I'm glad I did because this is a great beer to do on the show.
It's a very, very good-looking beer. It's got these orange, and I'm just getting this tiny little burgundy hints every so often in it. It's a beautiful-looking beer, and the taste, I mean, words cannot do it justice. It's a very well-done beer, and I swear to you, it's got to be something in that water because all of these beers have that kind of underlying characteristic.
Yeah, a little bit under. Yeah, you're right.
That water, I think, is what makes up the body of these beers and makes them so easy drinking. Mm-hmm. And I'm already getting kind of disappointed that we're running out.
I know.
It's just that good.
We do have a Giacomo IPA in the refrigerator.
Yeah, we do. But this really is, I think, Rick, the noise right there is just like...
It sounded like he had a beergasm.
He had a beergasm. It was good. It's always one of those we're going to write down. And that's like the other day when I was out in L.A. and Mike said, bring us back a Green Flash Triple because it was one of those memorable beers, the Schlafly Bourbon Barrel.
Yeah, that's a memorable beer.
I think this is one, too.
A double wide or the double wide IPA.
Yeah, but I think we got a couple. I think this goes on the shelf of some of the favorites. Yeah. The Abbey Ale is this is a damn fine beer.
You sent me that poolside picture. That was a pretty sweet little picture.
That's a great
picture.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
That Lafrique was good.
Yeah, we had yesterday a little pool beer tasting. Yeah. We had a Green Flash Triple and a Green Flash Lafrique.
Which was definitely different.
It was different. It's an Imperial Pale Ale coupled with their Belgian Triple.
Yeah, pretty good stuff. Yeah,
some might call it a leftover, but... Well, we got half a keg of this.
Let's mix it together. See what it tastes like. Oh, wow, this shit tastes good. We need to start making this.
So the Abita beers have just really represented themselves well.
Sure.
And I got to confess, I've always kind of taken them for granted because you go to Bourbon Street and it's like, oh, get a drink the Abita beer. So you associate it with the hand grenades and the bullshit drinks, and you kind of devalue the beer. You know,
I think what it is it when you see it everywhere, it's on tap in every restaurant
everywhere.
You go to.
Yeah.
You kind of get that mentality like it's Bud.
Yeah.
It's where you see it everywhere.
Yeah.
It can't be any good because you can get it anywhere you go.
That's
not true. They do a good quality product.
It is.
I think some of the beers, they're just like everybody else. They got to make money. They're brewing for the masses. But they do have some really nice beers in the Andy Gator, the Turbo Dog. I have a lot of people that say they don't like the Turbo Dog, but they aren't real craft beer drinkers. They're more your Budweiser people. And
stick a Purple Haze in front of them, they're hooked.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Abita makes something for everyone, literally. They have a light beer, even.
I know I'm going to offend someone, but that's how stupid people are when they sit there and look at a dark beer and say, I don't like it because it's dark.
Yeah, because of the color.
Oh, that's too strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet they judge people the same way,
by their
too.
Color.
Those rat racist beer bastards.
Shame on shame on you.
Don't play the race card when it comes to beer.
No.
We don't judge a beer by his color, but the content of his character.
The quality.
Everything Dr. King said about people applies to beer just as well. So
you know, I knew you could probably coin that phrase.
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah,
everything Dr. King said about people applies
to beer as well. That's true. It does, though. Don't judge me by the color of my skin, but the content of my character. And that's true about beer.
And if you're ever in Louisiana, north of Pontchartrain Lake, there's a little city called Abita Springs, and that's where they brew this beer. And there's actually a restaurant that has food, and then the Abita beers, and then there is the tasting room.
What's the restaurant called?
Why'd you have to ask me that?
It's the Abita Beer Brewery restaurant, right?
Well, it's not associated with a brewery. It's independent now. They broke it off.
Just for frame of reference, though, New Orleans, how far is Abita Springs?
Well, it's on the north side of the lake, about another 20 minutes, maybe.
Okay, so you go back north to Lake Pontchartrain?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go across the lake.
Above sea level?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because if you go across Lake Pontchartrain to get to New Orleans. And then Lake Pontchartrain, it's man-made? Not man-made.
I don't think so.
Not sure. It's a big old lake.
Yeah.
I mean, they got fishing boats and stuff in it. So you have to cross Lake Pontchartrain to get to New Orleans.
It's like 19 miles across the lake.
Right,
the bridge.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so you go back across the lake. So you're headed inland. You're headed north, and then it's off to what, to the west?
North, it's east of 55.
Okay, so then it is a little east. So.
Do a Google on it, and you'll find it. But it's a great place to go. It's a quaint little town. It's a pretty busy town because of the flood and the storm a couple of years ago kind of pushed everybody north to get on high ground.
So they were well inland. The storm didn't really, other than just general storm damage, they weren't affected by flooding or anything like that.
Well, they got a lot of wind damage.
Right, right.
Yeah, but, you know, when you... When you look at the quaint little town, it's got the brewery there. They built a new building for their tasting room and I guess you call it a tap room. Mm-hmm. It's really nice, all new, and they've got a garden outside with tables and a great place. But we showed up on a day early before they opened for the weekend. And they, you know, we opened up the door. There were some people inside, and they go, "Oh no, you can't come in. You can't come in. We aren't open." And my friend that was with me, he said, "Hey, this guy came all the way from Memphis to sample your beer. You know, can we get in?" And they said, "Well, okay, come on in." So we went in, and they said, "Hey, it's self-serve around here. There's the cup." So we grabbed a cup and went over to the tap and started pulling beer and just had a really good time.
Wow, that's a great story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a good time.
Yeah. Here's a brewery. Help yourself.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
And she said it's that way all the time. When we're open, it's self-serve. We don't do anything. You know, you throw your plastic cups in the trash can, and when you're ready to go, leave. You know, that type thing.
That's great.
So, yeah, it's a good time.
So,
further proof that beer people are cool people.
They are.
They really are.
Well, you know, I always go back to what Sam Calagione of Dogfish said. Dogfish Head said that the craft brew industry is 99% asshole free. And the Abita people continue to prove that and make a damn fine product. I am loving this Abbey Ale. I wish Rick hadn't beat me. I was on my Johnny Cash expose thing, and just we were just full of stories, and we were talking offline about all this stuff, and all of a sudden I hear that.
I'll remember that as long as I live.
It was a beergasm.
It's one of those sounds you'll never forget.
He knew he had something right then, and we go, "Oh, wait, what's he doing?"
Yeah, if you look on a map, it's just north of the lake, maybe 20 minutes probably, in between 55 and 59, which are your two major highways that go, or interstates that go into Louisiana.
New Orleans.
So, great place to go. Check it out.
Speaking of Louisiana, I see that HBO is bringing back True Blood. It should be on within a couple of weeks.
A new season?
I have not seen that yet, and I've heard it's
kidding.
A great
it
show.
It is great. You would love it.
I enjoy the hell out of it.
I do, too.
Okay, I'm going to have to start watching. I'm pretty sure they got the first season out on DVD or something. I get my Netflix going.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. I don't subscribe to HBO.
Mm-hmm. Or I went ahead and read all the books. So the books are kind of fun. She's a little tramp, you know.
Yeah.
Suki Stackhouse, yeah.
Yeah, I saw.
I like her brother. He's a wild dude, man.
What's her name? Mary Louise
Parker.
Parker.
Yeah.
Is that
Weeds?
Her name? Yeah, on Weeds, and that's coming back. And now again, I don't get any of those things. I go and watch them elsewhere. And I'm looking at the cover of More magazine because she's over 40. She's 44 years old. And it referred to a nude scene. I go, what? Apparently, on one episode of Weeds, they had her in a bathtub, and her boobs were, like, floating above the water, and the cameraman lingered on them just for a little while, and she's apparently all over the Internet with her boobage and everything. I hadn't. No idea, but I guess that makes Weeds worth watching, if for nothing else.
Look at here, Mary Louise Parker, bitter over nude scene.
Bitter my ass.
Bitter.
She's loving that. She's loving that.
She says, always been fine with the sex scenes in her role as Nancy Botwin, a marijuana-selling suburban mom in the show at Showtime.
Yeah, but they never showed anything.
Now, wasn't Mary Showtime, Louise Parker in soap back in the day? The TV series Soap?
Was she on Soap? No, I know she was in Mystic Pizza or something. She was in one of those things. She and Susan Sarandon are buddies.
Was that that
I'm going by, I just like glanced briefly
was that
at the thing.
Show up north?
And I don't know.
What was that called, that one? Northern?
Oh, Northern Exposure?
Yeah. No, not Northern Exposure.
She
comedy.
Wasn't in that.
There was a weird alien-type series.
X-Files?
God, no. It was like, I'm drawing a blank.
Can't help you, Mike. Let's do a beer haiku.
I was going to say, it sounds like we're segueing into the culture part of the show.
Yeah.
So,
arts and entertainment, and culture.
Say the magic words.
Cue
the music. Time for a little beerhaikudaily.com. Go visit them. Great people. And this one was written on May 22nd by Captain Hops. And we're changing it a little bit. We're calling it Big Foamy Head Summer Sounds. Warming up to the beats, eats, and beers of summer at BigFoamyHead.com.
Beer
haiku. Class culture.
Yes. Okay. And as Rick's pointed out, we forgot the music more than once here. And in case the listeners have forgot, there is alcohol involved.
Amen.
In the production of this show.
That and time. What the listeners don't know is we record this stuff and then like maybe a month and a half later, you know.
Yeah.
So I could talk about how wonderful the Lakers are doing and probably the NBA finals will be over.
That's right.
By the time.
But not for this one because we're going to crank this bad boy out. And we need to, let's throw a couple of shout outs out though. Our boy Phil, coming up on his second year anniversary of My Life as a Foodie. We need to say
which
hey.
Is hugely successful.
It is. He's doing it's a great show full of things that you have never even thought of. It makes you think about what you're eating. So you really do
if you've got a podcast that Anthony Bourdain and what's her name? Rachel Ray listens to, you got a good thing going.
There you go.
Yeah.
So and we need to say hey to Rob for hooking us up with the Carl Strauss Tower 10 IPA that will be on an upcoming show. And to our friend of the show, Dave Brown, who was supposed to join us today, but he prefers to be in the background. But he carries us on his trips to parts of the world that we may never see when he's flying the jet to who knows where, Asia, Philippines, China,
wherever.
The one
with the big FedEx written across
it. That's right. That one, he's listening to Big Foamy Head. So it's just a damn miracle your packages arrive.
FedEx is not a sponsor of Big Foamy Head, though.
No, they're not. But
we're working on that.
We're working on them. Because there are two-thirds of the Big Foamy Head staff have purple in their blood. You know it's true. But anyway, so hey to everybody, and of course all the listeners. And if you've had a little problem getting to us, it's because once again the Russians bent us over and had their way with us, and so we were shut off for a while. And if you're listening to this, spread the word, man. Hook a brother up, can you? Tell your friends. Get us.
And
get us
comment. Leave some comments, some constructive criticism.
Yes. And one last thing, it's coming because we're just, like Rick said, we're slow as hell on editing. The Beer Babes are back. They have, and you will hear the gory details.
Two thumbs up as far as I'm concerned.
That's right. That's right. They're better than ever. I mean, we could not get them to shut the hell up. Yeah, they did talk about the International Beer Babe symbol, the three-finger shocker. Okay, we're not going to talk about that. That's on the uncut version. We're going
to
have...
That's a teaser. A teaser to get you to listen.
It is. We got a show coming up, and Jamie and Susan, the Beer Babes, are on it. And my wife, Christy, is, and she was like a semi-unwilling participant. But they were on it. It's summer at Big Foamy Head, and we're going to get into all kinds of stuff. So let's recap.
In trouble.
Let's recap. The beers that we had, all a fine showing. The worst damn beer I had was great.
Amen.
And I don't want to say what was the worst, but I will say what was my favorite, and I got to go with the Abbey Ale.
Yeah, we definitely saved the best for last. I'm not kidding. How about you, Rick?
Oh, the Abbey Ale's malty and sweet and got all those spice characters coming out. It's a wow beer. You know,
it
you
is
don't
a,
get
wow.
a wow beer mm-hmm. very often.
No, you don't.
It'll make you say wow. So mm-hmm.
It really will.
And, you know, I'm such a huge fan of the Turbo Dog, so I always recommend people to go get that. And obviously, Purple Haze is just a great beer. I mean, it's a nice summertime beer, right?
It is. Mm-hmm. It's a delicious pool beer, and really, almost every Abita beer, you could stock a cooler with a whole selection and not go wrong.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
this is
the Andy Gator will eat you because it's a gator.
It's a gator. It's a gator on the bottle. You need to buy it just to look at the bottle. It's a bitchin' bottle. It's just like this cool smear of paint, and then you realize it's a gator coming at you. And it does,
far
too.
Out, man.
You know, they've got a handful of beers that we didn't even try. We could probably do another show on the other beers that we
haven't tried. And we're going to finish out and top off with our Giacomo IPA, which is a very nice, and I believe the only IPA, or pale ale that they do.
They do a select pale ale.
They do, okay, yeah. Okay. And they're golden amber, but most of them are very low IBUs. So anyway, that's it. Let's wind it up, and we're going to get out of here with a little bit of Johnny Cash Cocaine Blues.
Cool.
All right. See you next time.
Drive safe.
Come back to see us.
Early one morning while making the rounds, I took a shot of cocaine and I shot my woman down. I went right home and I went to bed. I stuck at 11:44 beneath my head. Got up next morning and I grabbed that gun, took a shot of cocaine and away I run. Made a good run, but I run too slow. They overtook me down in Juarez, Mexico. Laid in the hot joints, taking the pills. In walked the sheriff from Jericho Hill. He said, Willie Lee, your name is not Jack Brown. You're the dirty hack that shot your woman down. And yes, oh yes, my name is Willie Lee. If you've got a warrant, just to read it to me. Shut her down because she made me slow. I thought I was her daddy, but she had five more. When I was arrested, I was dressed in black. They put me on a train and they took me back. Had no friend for to go my bail. They slapped my dead carcass in that county jail. Early next morning, about 9:30, I spied a sheriff coming down the line. Up and he coughed as he cleared his throat. He said, come on, you dirty hack, into that district court. Into the courtroom my trial began, where where I was handled by 12 honest men. Just before the jury started out, I saw that little judge commence to look about. In about 5 minutes in walked a man, holding the verdict in his right hand. The verdict read in the first degree. I hollered, "Lordy, Lordy, have mercy on me." The judge, he smiled as he picked up his pen. 99 years in the Folsom pen. 99 years underneath that ground. I can't forget the day I shut that bad bitch down. Come on, you gotta listen unto me. Lay off that whiskey and let that cocaine be.
These men have receptions, Matlock, A50632, and Bat Shelter, A39879. They have receptions.
Yeah.
I doubt that.